Now, you might come down and make some statement that had the word bless in it, you know, like, I want to bless you, Bob, and maybe describe me or single me out on some attribute that you think is a good of mine. Or you might just walk up here and say, bless you, and return to your seat. Excuse me.
That's who?
Well, good. I'm glad I heard somebody. Yeah. Bless you. You ever think about that? What does that mean? Bless you. We use that word bless all the time. Every day, probably. You probably say it more times than you think about it. And yet its definition is anything but really clear to us, I think. And for a moment, what would you think to be a blessing would be? How about, what would be a blessing to you? What would you list if you were just saying, well, it would really be a blessing if I were blank, blank, blank. If I were financially secure. It would really be a blessing if I always had good health. It would be a blessing if I just had great relationships with everybody that I meet and that I know. Do we really understand this concept that is filled with Bible teaching about what it really means? Bless this food. I used to joke with our kids and say, I don't know why we don't just have a prayer for this food when we bring it in from the store. We could just eliminate that praying everyday thing. About the food. Of course, I hope I wound up correcting that so that they didn't think I was being glib, but the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Would you like to make an application for today's world about that? Would you like to think about what Solomon was really telling us in a great statement like this in Proverbs 10 and verse 7? When you ask God, to bless the food, what is it that you want God to do with the food? If you're newly married, you may be saying, God, make that thing taste better this time. We've all been there. Bless this project I'm working on or I'm with. What is it you want God to really do with that project? Bless our family. I mean, you probably pray about your family every day. But is that all you say? Bless our family. Or do you get specific about what you really mean? What it is you really want God to do. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. Just what does that mean? Somebody tells us a story and we say, oh, bless your heart. One of the grandkids or the children fall down. They skin their knee and, oh, bless your poor little heart. Now, I'm not for a moment saying to you that we're insincere in what we're saying here. But what is it that we really want to happen? I want to talk for just a few minutes about be a blessing. And as Jack was telling us about the truth of the Word of God, what does the Bible say, really, to us in reference to what the idea of being a blessing is all about? Sometimes these things are obscure and we have to go looking for them. And yet, I want you to shift gears enough with me that you, if you will, to think on the spiritual side right now, rather than only what we normally think about, and that's the physical side. Bless our food. Bless our family. Bless our kids. Bless your poor little skinned knee. What do we really want to be blessed with? In the book of Ephesians, there are a number of passages in the first chapter of scriptures there. Really, the whole chapter is about it, but chapter one. But it tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Now, he does make a qualification, doesn't he? He does say, in the King James anyway, he says, in the heavenly places. In other words, he's talking about the spiritual realm, isn't he? Everything that we are blessed with comes from our Lord, our Savior, and because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So I want to be clear about that as I'm saying any of these other things that come along, that we know where it comes from. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now there's that great blessing passage, a couple of them in particular in the Old Testament I'm thinking about. Genesis 12, Genesis 15, when we read about God's promises to Abraham. And God said He was going to bless Abraham. Going to bless him. There were some strings attached. There were some things there that God will enumerate later on that if he was obedient to Him. What do you think changed in Abram's life? When God said to him, I'm going to bless you. What do you think changed in his life when God blessed him? Now you know, and I know, that Abraham was not a perfect man, was he? He was not right on every point. He made mistakes, just like all of us in the physical realm do. And yet we know him to be a great man. In fact, he is the epitome of our scripture this morning, because the memory of the righteous will be blessings or a blessed. When we think about Abraham, we think about the great blessing that he is to the world. He is to the people that are his descendants. He is as a follower and a lover of God, though he's not a perfect individual. Well, Jesus gathers the little children in the New Testament all around him. You remember that passage? You know, the disciples were kind of this opinion about the little kids. You all get back now. Come on now. Get out. Don't be getting Jesus' way. You know what Jesus said? He said, no, hey, let those little children come to me. Because this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is what it's about. Now, the sermon's not about that this morning, but that's a great thing for you to go study about. What do you think he meant when he said, let those little children come to me? Because this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. How can we really appreciate what a blessing is if we just don't really fully grasp or understand what its meaning is about? The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. In the Old Testament, the word, and I know this probably, I don't want to turn you off with that, but the word there is Barak. No, I don't mean Obama. The Hebrew word is Barak. It means blessed. You go look it up. You can do it on Google. I'll even let you do it while you're listening to me. Find all of the words that go along with what this word was meaning. It literally means in Hebrew, if we were translating it for us in the English, it means prosperity. It means adoration. It means respect. Or it means to speak good and to do good for someone else. Speak good and do good for other people. So, when you're praying around that table, Lord, bless this food, you're not asking God to make your wife or your husband a better cook. You're asking God to use this food for the betterment of my body. Let it be the intake it's supposed to be. Now, I don't know what to do, Dickie, about coconut pie. Okay? Or bluebell. We all struggle with those things, right? But boy, it's good, isn't it? It must have come from God. Because it's really good. Yeah, there's a difference in that in spinach, let's say, or broccoli. Okay? But what we're asking God to do is to use the food so that I can be healthy. So that I can have energy. So that I can continue to operate and do the things that I ought to do. That's what our word is all about. Barak is the way they say it. Do good things to my body. Do good things for my family. What good things do you want for your family? Are you praying about educations? Are you praying about financial things? Or are you praying about their spiritual welfare? Their dedication to the Lord. Their interest in seeing that their friends or everyone else gets an opportunity to hear the message of God. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about when you say, bless my family? When you bless God, did you hear that right? When you bless God, you're saying good things about Him. I hope I just opened your mind for something. Not that I mean you didn't ever know it, but you know that that's part of it, don't you? You bless God by praising His name. That God is on your lips, that God is on your mind. And that blessing someone is speaking good things about them and doing good things for them in the name of God so that they can be blessed. I know you know this. We sing this verse. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. And we love singing that great hymn. That's Numbers chapter 6. This is Moses speaking to us about our Lord. There are all kinds of blessings in the Bible. And when God says to His people, I will bless you, or when we speak, like the psalmist does in Psalm 103, beginning over there in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. See, that's the person praying, saying, do good things through our God, for our God, that you love Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. If you have a hymnal close by, look at the song 253. It's called Sweet Adoration. And the verse says, sweet adoration flows from your children. Glory and honor and praise are a part of the constant devotion. Love set in motion for the Divine One who reigns in our hearts. Love and respect. Sweet adoration flows from your children. Glory and honor and praise are a part of our constant devotion. Love set in motion for the Divine One who reigns in our hearts. Sweet adoration flows from your children. Glory and honor and praise are a part of our constant devotion. Love set in motion for the Divine One who reigns in our hearts. From our lips. I believe that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about in the book of Hebrews when he says, from the fruit of our lips, we will praise Him. That it's not just words we're saying, but it's the love and respect and admiration that we have for God our Father. The psalmist in 96 and verse 4 says, for great is the Lord and most worthy of our praise. Amen. That is exactly right. What a great thing. So, God blesses His people and His people bless Him. And then there are blessings that are spoken by God or by people over the things, as we've mentioned. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, you'll see these words in verses 4, 5, and 6. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body. Now, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what can. Blessed be the offspring of your body. You know, the idea that God put man and woman together was so that they could produce great blessings that would continue to bless the name of God. That would bring a blessing to you. Bless the offspring of your body and the produce of your growing, the offspring of your beast. Listen to God, what He says to them. The offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading board. You will be blessed when you come in and when you go out. Is there anybody who wants to get in that line with me? I mean, does that sound what you're looking for in life? To be encouraged with something like that? But that's what God promises for us. You see, the memory of the righteous will be blessed or a blessing. But the name of the wicked shall rot. Believe it or not, they're not going to remember the rioters. They're going to remember those who speak with blessing. In Genesis chapter 47, this verse sort of makes me want to think deep about things, Bob. But you know, it says that Joseph blessed Pharaoh. And I don't know why that jumps out at me, but I'm thinking about Pharaoh. You know, he's the guy in Air Force One, isn't he? He's a guy with a security team. He's a guy that has the finest of everything because his servants bring it to him. You know, what was Joseph going to bless him with? He has everything the earth has to offer. when he's missing one thing like everybody else. If you don't have God, you don't have anything. I wish that was the message we could get across to our world. Without God, there's nothing. Without God, there'll never be anything. Let me ask you mothers, what would you do, those of you that still have children and would come into your... What if they came in the house coming home from school and they said, blessed are you among all mothers. Would we have to get the smelling salts? I wonder. Blessed are you, mother. I'm not sure if most women in the world would know how to respond to that one, other than I'm confident that they would be pleased and would probably want to hug them and say, oh, how sweet. But what about when your older children who have grown up and left the nest and have had a taste of the world, most of which you didn't approve of, and they come home and say, blessed aren't you, mother. You are a blessed person. You have blessed my life. There are all kinds of blessings from God. There are all kinds of blessings written in the Bible. Over 400 times God sends His favor to mankind. Now, I think they come, this is not God, this is Bob speaking, okay? So this is not, don't go looking for this outlined in the Bible. But there are two or three categories I think you'll find these blessings that come. First of all, there's ability to bear offspring. Because God says, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. Isn't that what He promised Abraham, Bob? That's what He promised, I believe. Now, I have no idea what my offspring, if the world continues to spin, what they're going to be able to say about a grandfather or a great-grandfather or some relative. Are they going to look up in Ancestry.com to find out whether or not he was really a successful business person or that he knew a lot of famous people? You see, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, and the name of the wicked will rot. That's the way preacher of old Solomon wrote it. The ability to bear offspring. And then the ability to defeat their enemies. And they blessed Rebekah and they said to her, our sister, may you increase to 1,000 upon 1,000. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies. Genesis 24 and verse 60. That was one of the ways God blessed His people, was that they would possess their enemies and take their cities. And then, strengthening friendships. That's one of those categories. The ability to bear children or have offspring. And listen, let me add this. You don't have to physically be the person who bears the children to have offspring. Okay? But if you raise them, you can have them. And the ability to be against those who are my enemies. Maybe those were one of the things we should pray more about. And the strengthening then of our friendships or relationships. In fact, in the Jewish language, you've heard it a number of times, shalom. That's their word of greeting. That's their word of departure. And that just simply means peace, harmony, wholeness, goodness, prosperity. Well, let me take about 5 minutes to say something about what the New Testament says. In the New Testament, the word over here is Marcanius, or more like saying a car, Marcanius. You may have remember a few years back, about 30, you folks won't remember, but you've probably heard of Macarena. How many of you heard of Macarena? You heard of that? Well, that's a Spanish. And that Spanish word comes from the Greek word. Okay? It kind of sounds like the Greek wedding. You know, all words come from Greek. Macarena. Now, the song is not really about biblical things, okay? But that word, Macarena, means blessed. Macarena in Spanish means blessed. You're singing about a girl who says she's blessed. Now, she's all about a dance and all this kind of stuff that is really irrelevant, but nonetheless, I hope you understand that this word means supremely fortunate. That's the Greek term. If you go look it up in the Greek dictionary, you'll find those words with it. Extremely fortunate. It will say they are well off. Now, you can take that to mean financially or spiritually. I think it means the spiritual thing. Blessed. If you're listening to Phil Robinson, you know what he'd say, don't you? Happy, happy, happy. Yeah. Because that's his approach to life. He has gotten down the idea of being blessed in the kingdom of God. And Paul, he just makes a long list, enumerates all of these great blessings. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Whatever blessings are to be ours are out there in the treasure house of God. Paul enumerates them by saying we're holy, we're without blame, we're adopted children, we have forgiveness, we are heirs or have an inheritance, we have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember Jesus' list? Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. That's right. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be what? Filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You see, this is the idea. Now, I know that overall that passage is about the blessing, I'm talking about Ephesians 1, is about salvation. And we all want to go to heaven, we all want to be saved. But there are individual things in here that we pray about, or we ought to pray about. Most people in the world today, you know, the rich, the famous, the one who get all the press, they can't talk about spiritual because they don't understand spiritual. To them, that's foolishness. The only thing that's good to them is money and power and, you know, notoriety and all of this thing. When in fact, the things that are most important are the things that are not seen. They are the things of value spiritually. And the only way you can understand them, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14, is to be born of the Spirit. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You know, I think it's verse 4 of chapter 1. I'm guessing here, but I think it says that we are chosen before the creation. That doesn't mean you personally, you weren't born then. But it means the means by which you could be chosen, you're there. You can put all of those up if you want to back there, Lena. I'm good with it. Chosen before the creation. Later on in chapter 4, he's going to say one of the things we do is that we want to walk worthy of our vocation, the old King James, or our calling in the newer versions, doesn't it? We want to walk with him. Listen to this. That to walk with him. You remember Enoch? What does it say about Enoch? Enoch walked with God, and what did God do? He took him home. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's more sermon in that than we have time for. Walk with God and He'll take you home. Because the memory of the righteous is a blessing. The name of the wicked will rot. I love every one of you, and I got about halfway through my notes, but we have access to our Heavenly Father because we are predestined as sons. We have the resurrection power. If you're reading the book of Romans in the very first five verses, you'll see that Paul says that the most important thing and the power that is found in the gospel is the resurrection of our risen Lord. Come on. Say amen at least once here. Because it's a powerful message. Now I hope that that's the message you hear. Being in Christ is all important. We always want you to know Him. And if whatever any of us can do, whoever it may be here, we're ready, we're willing, we're able to help you be in Christ so you can be a blessing. And that the name, your name, can be the righteous name and be a blessing to those who knew you and to those who come after you.